Welcome to the Before Midnight podcast, coming to you from the M Plus One studios overlooking beautiful downtown Frankfurt. This is a podcast where we discuss all things multisport. If it has to do with swimming, biking, or running, and just life in general, well, we're there for it. I'm one of your hosts, Brian Schenkenfelder. My co-host, Linda Word, is out this week. She's visiting family on the East Coast. So you are stuck with me and my random thoughts this week as I sip from a new coffee mug that my son got me for Father's Day. It's one of these heat-activated mugs where, with a battery on the side, you fill it up with coffee and the battery on the side lights up, fills to 100%, telling me that I have a full cup of energy to consume, and I'm here consuming it, bringing the energy to this day. Also, on Father's Day, got a 365-day-a-year joke book. Now I have a dad joke for every day of the year. To give you an idea of the quality of these jokes, did you know that the first French fries weren't actually cooked in France? No, they were cooked in Greece. Yeah, that's good stuff. Father's Day was a good time. We had family over to visit. My parents came over. My wife's family came over. And we watched a little TV, sat around, enjoyed the fine weather, and just had a good time with it. Also this weekend, we had our weekly soccer game, first game of the year. It went well in the first half. Kids did a really good job of spreading the ball around, passing it. We were helped by the fact that the other team was a little unsure what to do. They were the first time up in the, I guess, 8-9 league. They were still used to that kind of pack mentality of following the ball. Our team was able to take advantage of that and get some easy shots in, built a nice lead. The second half, things just kind of fell apart. The other team really was a lot more aggressive. They did a better job of kind of spreading out. They did a better job of defending what we were trying to do. And my kids just, I don't know what happened in that second half. They did nothing really all that well, to be honest. We spent the whole halftime talking about, okay, we've gotten some easy shots. Let's really try to spread this team out. Let's get wide. Let's get out there and really go sideline to sideline with this ball. We came out in the second half and did none of that. It's crazy. I've got to figure out how to get them to really use the sidelines. We got a small field. We're playing 5v5. It's pretty crowded. The only way we can de-crowd things is to really go sideline to sideline. Instead of that, we sat in the middle of the field. We were very easy to defend. And things just really bogged down the second half because of that. I'm also coming to the conclusion that the kids, if they don't have the ball at their feet, really like to watch the other kids do something with the ball. There's very little, oh, they've got the ball, let me see if I can get open. Let me see if I can go to a spot that can be useful to the person with the ball. Instead, we just kind of stare at the person with the ball and hope that they pass it to us. I've got a couple challenges then, I guess, this week with when we get to practice. One is, how do I get them to really use the width of the field? And secondly, to really stop watching the game and participate in the game. I guess I got to let them know that there are three types of players. The player with the ball, the player who tries to get open and make something happen based on where the ball is and where they are, and then the person who just watches the game. We need to stop being the person who just watches the game, be a lot more active when we don't have the ball. That's going to be my challenge as we head into this weekend's game and try to see if we can play a little more complete game. It'll be interesting to see how that actually plays out on the field when we get to it. Anyway, this week I had a couple things on my mind I wanted to share with you guys about training and planning and such. I thought would be interesting topics. The first thing I want to talk about is why we need to think about running easy and biking easy when it's not a key workout for the weekend or the week of training. When we train, there's usually a series of workouts we do in the week that fill different requirements, different needs for our training. Generally, you have some sort of key workout in each sport. This is the workout that we really want to go hard, stress the body, force the body to make adaptations to make us fitter, better athletes. Since we're working multiple sports, running and biking, that we really can't have two key workouts in each sport. We generally have one key run workout, one key bike workout. Swimming is kind of mixed because swimming is much more technique driven and a lot less fitness driven. The thing is, we're actually biking and running more than once a week. We have that one primary workout. We generally will have a longer workout, both in the run and the bike, that allows us to really build up our endurance aspects of it. Then we have some supplementary workouts to continue to develop our aerobic system. The key element that people generally miss and have a hard time dealing with is those long workouts, those supplemental workouts, really need to be done at a very easy pace. There's a couple of reasons we want to do this at an easy pace. One, when we look at endurance sports, one of the primary elements of it is aerobic energy burning. When we look at energy systems, when we're burning energy to move, run, bike, whatever we're doing, there's three primary energy systems that are available to us. One is the ATP, and this is kind of stored energy in our muscles that fire in the first 5 or 10 seconds of actual exercise. These stores dissipate very quickly. This is where our other energy systems come into play. There's an anaerobic energy system, which takes place outside of oxygen. This is where a lot of like your lactate is created as part of this process to provide energy to the muscles to be able to do their thing. And then the biggest one that we use is our aerobic system. This is where we take oxygen from the air, convert it to energy, and use that energy to move our muscles. Ideally, in these long workouts, these supplementary workouts, we want to really work these aerobic system. The best way to work an aerobic system is to go easy, because the harder we go, we begin to overwhelm that aerobic system, and the anaerobic system needs to kick in to fill that gap. This is probably one of the biggest reasons you want to go easy on these other rides, because we want to really stimulate that aerobic system as much as possible. If you go too hard, you're going to get a mixture of energy systems, and there's just really not a lot of value in stimulating the anaerobic system for a long ride or just some supplementary ride. The second reason that you really want to run and bike easy comes back to our weekly training load. When I talk about training load, how much work we're doing in a week, how much stress we're putting on our body, it's a combination of two elements. One is the duration or the volume. How long am I going out and biking and running? An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever that time is. But the load is more than just how long I'm doing something. We have to add in the intensity factor with that volume. The general expected practice of calculating load is a combination of the volume multiplied by our intensity. But we don't want to just do that, because the intensity, a harder workout, if I'm going full out, is just considerably harder than if I'm going easy. To compensate for that, when we calculate our workload, we generally will square the intensity factor, i.e. not just volume times intensity, but volume times the intensity squared. So we're really making an adjustment for the intensity here. Now, the intensity is calculated as a percentage of your functional threshold power, which is something you can calculate. It's how long you can, maximum amount of work you can do in 1 hour is how you would calculate your intensity. It doesn't really matter for the purpose of this conversation, other than we're going to take the intensity and multiply it by itself again, which really weights things towards intensity rather than volume. Now, what that means is if we do, both of us do a 60-minute workout, you do a higher intensity than me, you're going to take on a higher load than me, and a significantly higher load. Let's say we go out for 60 minutes, that's 1 hour. My intensity level is, say, 2. Well, that would be 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times the 1 would give me a value of 4. If you went out and did an intensity level of 3, you'd have 3 times 9, 9 greater than 4. You would have done a lot more training stretch than I would have, and you may not have actually gone much faster to get that intensity. Let's say I was going at it, say, a 10 or 11 minute mile, which is really, really slow for me. You were doing a, say, a 9 minute mile. Let's say we were equal at, or let's say I went out myself. Let's just compare myself. Let's say I go out and run a 9-minute mile versus that 11-minute mile. If the intensity is a 2 and a 3, that 9-minute mile did a great deal more load to my system than if I go at that 11-minute mile. Now, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is when we talk about training stress and training load, there's a finite amount we can do in a given week. And that's something that we want to only be able to increase by 5 to 10% between weeks. You can only give yourself so much load before the body begins to break down. Now, this gets us back to our original conversation of, I've got these key workouts that I want to do. Well, if training stress is finite for a given week, and we're only increasing it by a little bit from week to week, if I use up all my stress on these, or if I use up my training, my finite training load on these supplementary workouts, on my long workouts, what gets short shrifted in this? That's your key workouts, the ones that are actually going to make the most adaptations to your system. Thus, it's really important to run slow to keep the training stress low from your long and supplemental runs, allowing you to go harder on those key workouts. And that's really what we're wanting to do here, is to make sure that those hard workouts that we do every week are truly hard and are not compromised by our additional workouts that aren't as important as those key workouts, because it's the key workouts that the body uses for the adaptations. So that's just something to keep in mind when we're out there. It's like when we're out running, we're out biking, and we're on these supplementary rides, let's go a little bit easy. I don't have to run an 8-minute mile. I can run a 10-minute mile. I know it's slow for a lot of people. At the same time, I'm done. I'm not as destroyed by it. I can come back the next day and go harder when I need to go harder. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about today in my random thoughts for the week was managing task lists. One of the things I've always had a problem with is I have a set of tasks I need to get done in a week. I'll set out to go out and do a task, a list for each day. I go and attack them. I'm very task-oriented. And one of my favorite books on organization is Getting Things Done. And the big takeaway I have took from that bike is everything that needs to get done needs to go on paper. Therefore, you don't have to remember, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. You want to record everything that needs to be done, things that you think you might want to do sometime in the future. All that stuff needs to be recorded, stored in some sort of data store. I'm using, obviously, computer technologies to manage all of this. It could be done in paper and pencil. I just prefer the digital format for managing all these things. Once you have all that, then you can create your tasks could be done. The one problem I always run into with having these rather large to-do lists that I want to try to accomplish in a week is trying to fit it in. I have a tendency, probably like a lot of people, like, oh, I can do all these things in one day. When reality, I don't. Some things get carried over the next day, and by the end of the week, I have this backlog of a whole bunch of tasks that I wanted to get done this week that I didn't. And it's always a very frustrating thing for me to have all that done. One of the things I've come up with here recently, but one of the things I wanted to do was to take away from having just a generic task list, a to-do list, and move my task list to the calendar. Now when I want to do tasks for a day, I have to like go, okay, this one will probably take about 2 hours. This one will take an hour. This one will take 3 hours, whatever the time is. Let me grab these tasks and throw them in my calendar. What this does is it immediately puts a limit on how much I can put into a day. There's only so many hours in a day. There's only so many hours I work in a day. I have to make sure that whatever my list looks like for the day fits within that time frame of the calendar. And I have to make sure that there's transition time, time for lunch, time for dinner, time for whatever other things are out there. This becomes a very handy way for me to create a to-do list that keeps me from overscheduling a week. I there's only so many things I can get done. I can, at the beginning on a Sunday, I can set out, these are the tasks I want to do. I throw them in the calendar. I can move them around. I can try to get all the pieces in place. If there's things that don't fit, well, then I got to go and go, okay, well, these are the things that really aren't important this week. I can do them next week. And they go into the pile for next week. It really does a good job of limiting how much I can attempt to do in a week and what I can try to fit into a week. It turns out to be a pretty successful system for me so far, in that when I have a day without a lot of randomness in it, I tend to get my entire list done. The bad side to this is those days when things get scrambled, or let's say I scheduled an hour to do a task, but it's really going to take me like three. Well, one, I need to get better at my estimations. Two, it messes up the day. I've got all these things I'm trying to fit into a day. If I jam the calendar a little too tightly on a day, there's no way I'm going to fit everything in. Or if things pop up, things have to be moved around. And this is the downside to managing your tasks on a calendar basis. At the same time, a lot of the technologies out there, like I'm using Google Calendar, it becomes very easy to drag and drop my items around on the page between days. And it becomes a pretty good mechanism for managing my task list of the day. And I just want to kind of throw that out there as a thought for people who are also struggling with trying to manage task lists for a day. I really like this idea of taking my task and actually putting them on a calendar. Not only does it say, hey, I'm going to work on this now, and I can use the calendar to kind of prompt me to get through the day, it also makes sure that I don't overschedule things and try to get too much into them. A lot of times I'll even leave a gap of an hour or two in case things will overrun or weird stuff pops into a day. I can make those adjustments and still get the things I want to get done in a day done. Maybe it's just leaving like Friday mostly open. That way when things roll over from earlier in the week, I can fill up Friday with those tasks that I couldn't get done on other days because either things running over or just the random chaos of day-to-day living. I just found it to be a very interesting way to manage tasks. And I just want to throw that out there for people who might be like me and struggle with trying to fit everything into a... Well, that's all I had for this week in the random brain dump from my head. If you're out there looking for a coach in multi-sport, we can help you out. Go check out our website, go3sport.com. And as always, have a great week if you want to.